From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Peace talks appear to be making progress toward ending one of Africa's longest-running conflicts, the civil war in Sudan. Leaders of the Sudanese People's Liberation Army recently visited the capital, Khartoum, for the first time since they began fighting the government 20 years ago. Negotiators for both the rebels and the government say they hope a deal can be struck early next year. The south of the country has been devastated by the war, and if peace does come, international relief agencies say rebuilding Sudan could take years. NPR's Jason Beaubien reports.
The roads in southern Sudan have been destroyed by 20 years of war, neglect, and landmines. Some goods move in and out of the area on the Nile, but most supplies that reach southern Sudan arrive by air. The United Nations runs Operation Lifeline Sudan from a dusty, windswept airfield in northwest Kenya. At sunrise, hulking C-130 transport planes and smaller twin-propeller aircraft line the tarmac. Behind the planes, bags of grain are stacked on pallets. The bundles will be dropped out of the back of planes onto dirt airstrips across southern Sudan.
The bags are like packed inside three other bags, big bags. And as the bags hit the ground, they all burst except the last bag. And it's very effective and quite amazing to watch.
Shorty Adelard is the air transport officer for the UN operation here. Adelard says that even if a peace deal for Sudan is signed in the coming weeks or months, the airlift into southern Sudan will continue for quite some time.
A lot of the roads have to be demined, and there's a lot of work. So at the end of the day, hopefully nothing will have to be airdropped in the future, but it's going to take a few years before that will come right.
The Sudanese People's Liberation Army is made up predominantly of Christian southerners. They've been fighting since 1983 against what they say is the tyranny of the Islamic government in the north. At the ongoing peace talks in neighboring Kenya, the rebels and the Khartoum government have agreed in principle to grant the south 6 years of self-rule. After this interim period, southerners would vote on whether to form a separate nation or remain loosely attached to Khartoum. One of the possible administrative capitals for the south is Rumbek. A tall, thin-hipped Dinka herdsman corrals his cattle through the center of town. By southern Sudanese standards, Rumbek is relatively prosperous, but it has no electricity or running water. The only vehicles on the sandy dirt roads are the Toyota Land Cruisers of the UN and other relief agencies. The only medical clinics in the area are run by foreign aid agencies. At the Malteser Clinic in Rumbek, a man distributes prescription drugs from a window cut in the side of a metal shipping container. Madison Mabuna, a doctor from Zambia, is the medical director at the clinic.
So far, all the areas I've gone, there's no structure supported by the government. Somehow, there's no real government supervising. Everything's done by NGOs.
The Malteser Clinic serves hundreds of people each day. There's no electricity at the compound. Food is cooked in blackened metal cauldrons over open fires. The tuberculosis wards are mud-walled thatched huts. Vaccines are kept under ice packs in an oversized beer cooler. Mabuna says patients walk as much as 40 miles to reach his clinic.
We are used to keep people who come with leprous reactions. But due to the increased number of TB cases, we changed it to a TB ward. So all these around are TB patients.
The fighting in Sudan has killed an estimated 2 million people, mostly through war-induced famine and disease. It's forced millions of others from their homes. In addition to the government and the SPLA, numerous armed militias that are not involved in the peace talks continue to operate across the vast country. There's been particularly intense fighting recently between government troops and a rebel group in the west of Sudan near the border with Chad. Despite this, a peace accord between the two main combatants, the SPLA and the Khartoum government, is expected to prompt hundreds of thousands, possibly millions, of southern Sudanese refugees to return home. In most cases, the Sudanese diaspora will be returning to places that have deteriorated over the last two decades. The villages have been bombed, mined, or strafed by helicopter gunships. They've also lacked any normal government structure. Schools have been shut down and are just starting to reopen.
Good morning, children.
Good morning!
Are you ready to sing the good morning song?
Yes!
Sing.
At At the Rumbek boarding school for girls, 115 girls are squeezed into a spare classroom. Their attention is focused on a boombox at the front of the room. The lesson is supposed to be delivered by satellite radio from South Africa, but there's a technical problem, so they're listening to a tape of the program. The girls range in age from 7 to 16. The younger ones, most in bare feet and tattered clothes, sit on the floor in the front of the room.
Let's talk about hobbies. Teacher, be sure the children understand the meaning of the word hobbies. And then, in pairs, have the children ask each other what their hobbies are.
The half-hour tape is an English lesson, but it's also designed to train the teacher. Ruben Mayen with UNICEF, who oversees the program, says there are hardly any qualified teachers left here.
There's a problem with the teachers. There are no teachers in southern Sudan.
Teachers and most other educated professionals were either snapped up by the competing armies to serve as officers or they fled. This school reopened in 2001. Schools in many other parts of southern Sudan remain shut. Rumbek Boarding School for Girls costs $3 a year per student, but many parents can't afford that, so it's heavily subsidized by UNICEF. The center of Rumbek is just a few shops along a soft, sandy dirt track. Many of the simple mud brick buildings were damaged by fighting over the last two decades. Goats lounge on the verandas to escape the midday heat. The smell of charcoal smoke and chicken manure permeates the air. Under a mango tree in the center of Rumbek, Joseph Rantok and John Mobile sit next to a pile of disassembled electronic goods. Rantok is fiddling with a cassette player that he split open on his lap.
Like this now, it has a problem now, so I repair it now. See? Now I'm going again.
Despite the oppressive equatorial midday heat, a charcoal fire burns in the dirt between the two men. There's a thin steel rod stuck in the fire, which Rantok uses as a soldering iron to repair the fragile circuit boards.
We make charcoal with the fire, and then we connect the place where it is get bad damage.
But Rantok says he has trouble getting soldering wire, and spare parts are impossible. He simply poaches components from other radios that are beyond repair. He's optimistic that peace will come soon to southern Sudan. If it does, his idea of a peace dividend is quite simple. Rantok wants to get a couple of new screwdrivers. The tips of his are just about worn out. Jason Bobian, NPR News.